Good day to you. And it really is a good day because the Blues are about to open their 2024-2025 season. And I don't know about you, but I'm really intrigued by this team. And I'm excited to see what they're capable of doing in the new season. A lot of changes over the offseason. Doug Armstrong was very aggressive. We'll get into that in a minute. But I wanted to welcome you to the Bernie Miklas Show channel here on YouTube. Thanks for your support. Please subscribe. I will be keeping the Blues very active in terms of my video presentations as we now start the season. So look forward to hearing from you in the comments section. And feel free to say whatever you want. Well, got to make it clean, but you know what I'm saying. So we're a few hours away from the first game, which is at Seattle. The Blues open up with a three-game trip out west. So we'll see what's going to happen early. We'll get a good feel for the team. So what do I think? Well, I really like what Doug Armstrong did with the roster. You know, he freshened the talent supply by adding depth and speed. They've gotten younger. His moves will not only give the Blues more quality up and down the lineup and in reserve strength, of course, but they're going to play faster. And that's really more compatible with the style of play that Coach Drew Bannister, now, the full-time coach, no longer the interim, as you know. Anyway, the fact that the Blues are going to be faster is going to fit with his preferred style of play. When the Blues open at Seattle today, they're going to have as many as six new players in the lineup. Forwards Dylan Holloway, got to make sure I get these names right now as far as not forgetting anyone. Forwards Dylan Holloway, Alexander Texier, Matthew Joseph, Radek Faxe, plus defenseman Philip Roberg and Ryan Suter. The NHL was really rocked by Armstrong's bold summer move. You know, it was nice and quiet. In the offseason, the activity had kind of slowed to peace and there was nothing going on and everyone was just getting ready to maybe go to the cottage for the final time up in Ontario somewhere and then get ready for the season cycle, the training camp and everything else to begin. But Armstrong kept working and he made that great summer move to pull in Broberg and Holloway from Edmonton. By gambling that Edmonton would not match offer sheets to those two young players, and his gamble worked. So the Blues were able to land two former first-round picks who are really young still, and they have tremendous upside. They were able to do that. He was able to do that at the expense of a Western Conference rival and maybe the best team in the Western Conference going in. So the Blues have a larger talent pool now, with more prospects rising and getting closer to St. Louis. And the Blues already have more options to choose from. And then you look a little bit beyond the horizon, the number of assets they have, especially young talented assets, continues to grow. So I like where the Blues are headed. I also like knowing that Drew Bannister had a full off season and training camp to not just prepare his team from a hockey standpoint, but he got to know the individual players one by one. So there's now a stronger relationship there. They're more familiar with each other. That can only be a positive. The Blues responded well to the dismissal of Craig Berube last December 10th or 11th, whenever it was, with Drew Bannister taking over on December 12th. I didn't like the fact that they fired Berube, and I'm not going to go back and pretend that I said, oh, yeah, they should have done this. And I didn't like it. I was like a lot of people upset. I mean, it was kind of harsh to send Craig Berube packing, the only head coach of Blues have ever had to win a Stanley Cup for the franchise. And so from that standpoint, I thought, you know, maybe it is a little harsh, man, a little harsh. But I got to say, that doesn't matter now, what I felt or what you felt or what any of us felt at the time, because this part cannot be denied. We may not have liked the move, the coaching change, but we can't deny that the Blues got better under Bannister. After ranking 24th among the 30 teams in points percentage last season under Berube, 24th in points percentage, the Blues improved to 13th in the league in points percentage during Bannister's time as coach. So that was a pretty dramatic improvement. The power play got much better. The Blues scoring rate which overall for the season wasn't very good, but their scoring rate did go up under Bannister. The players worked harder. I thought he did a good job of just lining guys up properly, you know, his line combinations. I think he's a smart guy. I look forward to seeing if there's more impact from his coaching simply because he's now the guy and he's got a contract and the players like him and he knows the players better and all that stuff. Plus, he's got more speed to work with. Even though Bannister really turned things around for the Blues, the Western Conference was incredibly strong and 92 points. That's what the Blues finished with. It was a really good showing for the second year of a retooling, or as I prefer to call it, a soft rebuild. But it wasn't enough to make the cut for a spot in the postseason. What I really like, and I know you all do too, is the goaltending from Jordan Bennington and Joel Hofer. Last season, that tandem was absolutely outstanding. They combined for the league's sixth best save percentage at all strengths. They performed way above the league average in stopping shots from the high danger zones. And here's what you need to know, really, bottom line, about the work of Bennington and Hofer. Last season, the Blues gave up 248 goals. That was 13th best in the NHL. So you might be wondering, and that I get it. It's like, well, what's so great about being 13th? Yeah, it's in the top half, but it's still only 13th. Well, based on the possession and the shot metrics and the number of high danger chances and all that stuff, the Blues should have given up 279 goals last season, which would have ranked 28th in the league. But because of this stellar goaltending, these two dudes, Bennington and Hofer, kept the Blues hovering around postseason competition. It would have been really, really ugly had this team received even average goaltending last season. I don't even want to think about mediocre or bad goaltending last season. The only thing I wonder about, though, and I think that this is reasonable, is there going to be some regression? I mean, Bennington and Hofer were so superb last season. Can the Blues dependably count on them to perform at such a high level again, second year in a row? I think that's a legitimate question. I'm not predicting that they're going to fall apart. I'm just saying, can they hit that high level again? Because if they don't, I don't see how the team makes the playoffs. I think that's the number one mandatory thing that has to happen. Bennington and Hofer have to be great again, 2 years in a row. I think they're capable of doing it. But I can't sit here and say, oh, no problem, you know, no problem. Regression is always part of sports, especially when you're at the real high end. You kind of look around, and you're like, well, is it the bubble going to burst a little bit? Some air going to leak out of the balloon? We'll find out, won't we? But Bennington was incredible last year. I think it was his best form since his magical rookie season. And you don't need me to tell you, remind you how that ended. But he was fifth among regular NHL goaltenders and goals saved above average, second best at preventing high danger goals. Will the Benner deliver an encore? Well, as I mentioned, for the Blues to have a clear chance at this, making the playoffs, I think that that's going to be a requirement. And Hofer will only get better. Boy, is he impressive. This big guy doesn't give up many rebounds. He's got a real presence in the net. All right, of course there's going to be questions. And I made sure I have my list of questions so I didn't forget any. And I'm not saying this is a complete list. These are things that I'm wondering about. And I invite you to add your own questions about, okay, here's some of the questions I have about things that have to happen or things that you need the Blues to get from certain players. All right, can the newcomers, Broberg and Holloway, play up to their talent level? These guys are really gifted, especially Broberg. But even though he came alive and was a real impact player in the postseason, the Edmonton got all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, he's sort of been up and down, but he's going to get a lot more playing time in St. Louis. He's going to get all the ice he wants, and I think it'll bring out his best. Holloway already seemingly has moved up in the pecking order if we go by the anticipated line combinations. It looks like he's going to be on the second line. That doesn't mean he's going to stay there. It doesn't even mean that'll happen in the Seattle game, but those are the indications that he's been moved up to the second line. If Pavel Buchnevich remains at center, can he provide consistent impact? We know he's better on the wing, so this concerns me a little, but the Blues still need more strength at center, and they've put him at center late last season to strengthen the middle. We'll see how it goes. He's a hell of a player, and he's really, really important to the overall fate of the team. Hey, can Robert Thomas, who took major step forward last year, can he get his first 100-point season of his career? Can Jordan Kyrou consistently perform at the high level from the start until the finish? That's the thing about Kyrou. We know he's fast. We know he's gifted. We know he's got the scoring touch. There's a lot to like about him. And I thought under Bannister, he even played off the puck much better than he did under Berube. So Bannister got a response from Kyrou. Now, can Kyrou stay at that level that we all want him to be at, the level we all anticipate from him? Can he get there and stay there? I think this coach-Kyrou relationship is a good one because Kyrou responded to the coaching change. That was important. But now you got to do it over a full course, over a full season. So a lot of eyes on Kyrou, but I'm optimistic about him. Does Braden Schenn have much left in the tank? Legit question. I know many of you share that. The Blues are going to need more goals from him if possible, because this team, you still wonder if they're going to score enough goals. They struggled in that area last season, as you know. And as a two-way center, you know, this part doesn't maybe get talked about enough. I think Schenn's got to be more dependable on the defensive end. Listen, man, he's a true grit type of player, but this is a matter of age. It's a matter of age-related decline and whether the goal-scoring prowess is there. But imagine if he could get back close to what he used to deliver. That would be a huge bonus, a huge boon to the Blues. Defenseman Colton Parayko turned up his play last season. He was much better. It was really good to see. Can he reach an even higher level, or at least can he stay at the level that he was at last season? I think he can, but maybe I'm in the minority, maybe not. I'm not sure. I'm not a fan of Parayko pairing with Nick Leddy. I think Nick Leddy, has way too many defensive lapses and maybe isn't the puck mover and the guy that can get you from one end to the other and a guy that can actually boost your offense. I don't know that he's that guy as much as he used to be. Now, maybe Bannister keeps Leddy with Parayko simply because he wants Parayko there, that mountain-sized defenseman, to cover for some of Letty's mistakes on defense. I don't mean to be harsh on Leddy. I just have some questions, and I wonder if at some point Parayko will be paired with someone else. If you have some suggestions on that, I'd be happy to. I'd really like to read them. Will a very healthy Justin Faulk, he was tormented by ankle injuries last season, much more than we knew at the time. Will he reemerge as a true quality defenseman? Because when he's healthy, he plays very, very well. And I like him a lot. So we all should expect bigger and better things from him this season. Hey, can Jake Neighbors repeat that 27-goal breakout that he had last season, which is technically his rookie season? Power forward in front of the net, gets his nose in there, throws his body into harm's way. So, yeah, he's going to get opportunities to cash in front again. Look forward to seeing if he can get there again or maybe even go higher. Zach Bolduc is in the minor to open the season, but that is a salary cap issue more than anything. I don't feel like explaining it. All the great beat writers who cover the Blues can explain it for you, and you probably know about it anyway. But this was just kind of a payroll type accounting thing that they have to, at least for now, have him start out in the American Hockey League. He probably could use more work too, but he showed a lot of promise late last season when he came up to the NHL for the first time. Showed a lot of promise, seemingly got better. Didn't have the greatest camp. That's another reason why we might see him stay in the AHL for a little while. But can he build on what we saw at the tail end of last season? Hey, I could go on and on and on about this. There, this wasn't meant to be, 25 questions. There's a lot of questions. But I look forward to you, giving your thoughts on this in the comment section. Some of the questions I didn't address that you have. Some of the keys to the season. I'm excited for the season. I know that Armstrong really, really likes this team. I think he firmly believes this Blues roster can get to the playoffs. I think Army's actually really confident. And that's good to see because I think Armstrong knows the team that he has. I think he's always been pretty realistic, except when he ran into that problem of stockpiling too many mediocre defensemen at high salary. We know that. No one said Armstrong is perfect. He's not, because you know what? No one is. But I still think he's a terrific leader for the Blues. And he did his part to make the Blues more talented, younger, fresher, faster, and have a team that has a lot more depth for the new season. So I'm looking forward to that. Across North America, and I've been canvassing opinions and reading things and listening to some podcasts, the opinions aren't as rosy about the Blues as Doug Armstrong's opinion about his team. Because of the rugged Western Conference, which is a minefield, the Blues are still being viewed as an outsider, as in a team that's better, a team that could be better than their 92 points showing a year ago, but still lacking that overall oomph that would get them into the postseason tournament. I like what the Blues are putting on the ice to open the new campaign, and I believe they're going to be in the playoff hunt, but they're going to need some other Western Conference contenders to struggle and maybe finish below expectations, because there's a lot of good teams, as you know. So if some other teams, contenders, underperform, the Blues will have more of a shot. Near the end of the regular season, I think the Blues are going to be close, but still on the outside. I hope I'm wrong. And if they miss it, the playoffs, it'll be their third consecutive season without being in the postseason tournament, which won't be easy to digest. But I really believe this as well. Whether they get to the postseason or not, the Blues are in much better shape for the future. So if there is another speed bump, it's not going to be something that discourages me in terms of my long-term view of where this franchise is going as it tries to make its way back into the upper echelon. Enjoy the season. Thank you for watching. And we'll be back later with another video here on the Bernie channel. Thank you very much. Go Blues!